Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel. We should really start from right after the Mishnah where it says Gemara, but since the Mishnah is anyway a fitting hakdama to our Gemara today, the Gemara quotes it a number of times, we might as well quickly go over the Mishnah at the beginning of the new perek. Zok the Mishnah, Hoyim lechaveirai, beis kor ofra ani moichalach. Reuven says to Shimon, I am selling you a beis kor ofra. Beis Kor, as we know, is a fairly large plot of land. As we all know from the Mishkan, the Gemara uses the expression Sosayim Kechotzer HaMishkan. The dimensions of the Mishkan are mentioned in the Torah. They're 100 by 50, which means 5,000 square amis. And the Gemara calls that Sosayim, means two sa'a. We also know that every Beis Kor has in it 30 sa'a. So therefore, by definition, we're talking about 15 times the Sosayim Kechotzer HaMishkan. Since the Chotzer HaMishkan Sosayim is 5,000 square amis, 15 times 5,000 gives us 75,000 square amis. For those of you that are wondering, what does that mean in modern language? According to the Art Scroll, it's somewhere between 4 and 7 acres, depending on how you compute or calculate an amma. Okay.
How big is an acre?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I never understood.
How much is in meters an acre?
Acre cannot be zoom, but in terms of the feet.
Around 4,000 meters.
If we're talking about 70...
square meters.
If 75,000 square amis, that means 100, according to Chassidus' share, where every amma is 2 feet, that's 150,000 square feet. Since a meter is roughly 3 feet, I think 39 inches, that would be approximately 50,000 square meters.
Wow. Okay?
Well, so that's large, yeah? It's bigger than the Besmedish, bigger than this Ezra Noshim.
It's a big field.
It's a big field. Okay, very good. Anyway, so getting back to
you're selling the land, not the dirt, not the topsoil.
Okay, well, that's
it. Nice. Yeah, and what about some of the rocks? I know.
Good. Now, notice the Mishnah doesn't say I'm selling you a base court. It says I'm selling you a base court. Offer. Now, offer, of course, means normally soil. But as Brother Shai pointed out several days ago, and as Brother Barry is pointing out today, we don't mean that a person is schlepping numerous boxes or bags full of offer. Rather, we're talking about a field which is offer, meaning that it's ro'ui lizria, that it can be used for going and planting. Without the word offer, a base core could mean that it happens to be full of rocks, full of pebbles, totally a lot of land which cannot be cultivated. But you could still buy that anyway, because maybe you want to go and erect on it an apartment building.
Maybe a good offer.
Maybe a good offer. Anyway, or Rishbam says maybe you want to use it to go and leave your payers there during the summer months to be able to go and dry out. In other words, land is multi-purpose. By saying base core offer, he meant for planting. Ah, that becomes very important. Because says now the Mishnah, what happens if you have cracks and crevices which were 10 tvachim deep in this land? Or you have these tall boulders, tall rocks, which are 10 tvachim or more. They are not included within the base core offer. And so therefore, if Reuven and Shimon agreed to sell the base core offer, and they're writing the documentation, and now Shimon comes out and looks at the land and says, this piece of property. Look at all these boulders. Look at all these cracks and crevices. You have to give a base core offer in addition to that, because obviously you cannot go and plant on a sela. What about planting in Nikoyim Amukim? We're going to talk about that as we get into the Gemara in Yetz Hashem. But in the meantime, since these are considered to be parts of the land which you cannot cultivate, so in them don ima, they are not included, and therefore you have to give more base core offer until you have a base core offer besides these nekoim and besides these slime. But that's only because the nekoim, the cracks, are so deep, asar tvachim, or the slime are so tall, ten tvachim. However, pochas mikan, if the nekoim were only 8 tvachim, 9 tvachim deep, and the cellar was only 8 or 9 tvachim high, then they become bottled to the land, and they are included after all, and you don't have to give any compensation in terms of offer or money, they're included as part of your base core offer. The Omele, what happens if he says, kim base core offer, as we would say in English, around or approximately a base core offer. Not precise and meticulous, nish yekish, no zechsidish, you know, more or less. Even if you did have some deep nekoyim, or you had these tall boulders, these are included. Now the obvious question is, does that mean that the entire property can be full of these boulders or these crevices which are more than 10 tvachim? Obviously not, because he wants a base korofer. See, he allowed for an approximation, kim base korofer. But how much are we talking about? So the Rishbam, in fact, addresses this issue, and he says that if it's more than four kavin, ein alikeach mekabel. If the area where your nekoyim are or where your sloim are is more than four kavin, then they are not included. And then you would have to compensate and give more land. Now you're saying to yourself, what is the amount of Dalit Kavan? So remember that we said a moment ago that base core has in it 30 saw, which means a saw is 1/30th or 3 1/3% of the entire base core. Everybody agrees? Yeah, more or less? Good. Now that happens to be if it would be a full saw. But where Rishbam says it's a Dalit Kavan, as you know, every saw has in it 6 Kavan. So therefore, 4 kavan is 2/3 of a saw. So therefore, it's 2/3 of 3 1/3, which comes out to roughly 2.2% altogether. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about that. He said kib base core that allows for a certain tolerance level. What's the tolerance level? Up to 2.2%. Once you go above that, then you have to go and compensate by adding additional core offer to make sure that it's a full base core. Fine. This Mishnah is dealing with Hilchas Mamanis, a sale Ruvain to Shimon. Now we're going to go off a little bit on a tangent. We're going to talk about halacha of being Makdish Sodeo. In the good old days, when the base Migdish was standing, and Mietchim hopefully soon to be rebuilt, Bekar of Mamish, what was the din? It says in the Torah, Gizuntait, that if a person wanted to go and be makdish a stay achuza, no problem. You can be makdish virtually anything to the Beis Hamikdash. So he had a stay achuza. Stay achuza means an ancestral property that he had received from his father, his grandfather, Zayd, the elder Zayd, all the way to Yeshua bin Nun. He was makdish. Okay.
Indeed he did.
And what did he do? Now it belongs to the Gizbar. Now the Gizbar can't use this property. He can't use it for the repair and maintenance for Berik HaBayis in the Beis HaMikdash. So then he goes and asks people, is anybody interested in being poled the field? And the first person that we ask, of course, is the original owner. Maybe you've had a change of heart, or maybe you're interested in getting the property back. It was very generous of you of giving it. Do you want to be poled it? The Torah gives a special formula by Yestei Achuza. What's the formula? For those of you that want to see the actual pasuk, it's not here on this Amid base, but you have it on Kuf Gimel Amid Aleph, the Torah or HaShalem. V'im Mistei Achuzase, from Mistei Achuzase. Yakdish Ishla Hashem, a person was Makdish. V'yerkecho lefi Zaroi, what is the value for pidgin purposes? Zera Chumisa Oilim B'chamishim Shekel Kosef. What the Torah is telling us is, I don't have to go to the American Appraisal Society or to any other appraiser and find out how much this property is really worth. If it happens to be ro'oi lizria, and it's a stay achuza, you have a special formula. Zera choymes oidem. Choymer is just like a car. So for every base car, chamishim shekel kosef, 50 shkolim altogether. And then the pasuk says, if it was acher yoivel, yaktish sodeo, if it was after the yoivel, then what you do is a shekel and punjoin per year, because there are altogether 48 punjoinim in a shekel, not in a shekel, in 50 shekel, in a shekel, no. Anyway, if you have the... No good. We have over here, so you have one shekel and one punjain. Since you're talking about 49 years, then 49 times one shekel is 49 shekel, but I still need 50 shekel. So there are 48 punjoinim in a shekel. So if every year I give a punjoin, so I'm going to have at the end 49 punjoinim, which is a shekel, plus one punjoin. What do I do with that one punjoin? That's going to be for the schar, for the money changer. Because after all, he also has to make panusim. Sure. Good, so it's a shekel and punjoin lishan. Anyway, that's the special formula by a base zerah chemisai. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, even though the Torah is talking about a base kar, the same thing applies to any field which was a steyachuza that you were maktish. It would be proportionate to that 50 shkalim. So the marshal, if the soda that he was maktish was half of a base kar, what the Gemara calls a lesech. A lesech is 15 so'a. Same thing, would also be based on not 50, but then 25, the same proportion in terms of this magic formula. But as we'll see in the Gemara as well, since the Pasuk uses the expression, v'yerkecha lefi zaroi, zerach ha'misoidim, it has to be ro'oi lizria. And therefore we have the exact shaila that we have in our Mishnah. Not shaila, but we have the same issue. What's the issue? What happens if in this base zera, choymes oidim, in this base kar, you have a bunch of tall boulders, or you have deep crevices, which are not ro'i lizria? What is the din? And that's what the Mishnah in Erechin addresses. It's Tanan Hasan. So the Mishnah in Erechin is very parallel to our Mishnah, in the sense that both of them talk about this situation with a base kar, where in it you had these Nikoyim Amukim or Sloim Givayim.
Isn't this also brought up in Kiddushin?
I'm sure if you say so, I'm sure. My world of knowledge is not that extensive, but if you speak to our good friend Brother Barry, he'll be able to point you immediately to it, etc. I think you're referring to Kiddushin Samach Aleph towards the end of the Masechta. But anyway, let's go back to it. So Tanan Hosam, Hamakdish Sodeu B'Shas HaYoivel, when Yoivel was no Hague, what happens then if you makdish the soda? Noisen loy, this is the formula if you were makdish and you want to be podit. Noisen loy, the base zera chaymes oirim, that's again a base kar. Chamisha shekel kosa, 50 kesef. However, hoy yisham nekoyim amukim yitvachim, you had these deep crevices of 10 tvachim deep. Hoy yisalam gevoyim yitvachim, or these tall boulders like we had in our Mishnah. Ein nimdodin ima, they are not included in this pidyon of the special formula of the chamishim shekel kosef. So oy bazoy, what din does it have? We'll see in the Gemara in another moment. Ein and dadima. Pachas mikana, however, if they happen to be less than 10 tfachim tall, the boulders, or if the crevices are less than 10 tfachim deep, nimdadima, they are counted within the base zera choymer soy. Meaning towards the 50 shkolim formula. Now, the question is, the gabi, the saloim, which are 10 tvachim tall, or the nekoim, which are 10 tvachim deep, we said, ein nimdodin ima. So what means ein nimdodin ima? We don't allow for the special formula, but rather, says Rishbam, they are nifte b'shivyoinam. In other words, what they would fetch on the market. Whatever that amount is, whether that's a large or it's a small amount, but you go based on, again, here you would go to the American Appraisal Society and you'd ask them, how much is this property worth? Whatever he tells you, based on that, you'd have to go and be pointed. So, Frank Dimara, let me understand. Why are you telling me that these Nekoim, or these Siloim, with the 10 Tvachim, that you have to be pointed b'pidyoinam, or b'shovyam, I should say. B'shovyam means their actual intrinsic value. V'may v'kachibam tu neshayu. Why don't you say about them that they should have the same din? I agree with you, we won't have them part and parcel of the larger base, zera chaymes, item of the base kar, because they are different. So Shishbam, fine. So we're going to call them a soda bifnei atzman, because they're different. It's not regular cultivatable, if there's such a word. It's not regular land that can be cultivated and planted. It's, some people would say it's an eyesore, regardless. But bottom line is, it is a separate piece of property. So let it also have the same din of being poided based on this formula of the base zera chaymes oyrim chamisha kukhasim. Not as part of the larger base card, but each one of them should be nifta on its own, again based on that formula. But my lekachuban finashayu. Every digmar, if he's going to tell me, Kim dole have a base car, loy kachi. Maybe that the Torah, when it says base car, means minimum of base car. If it's anything less than that, this formula doesn't apply. For Tanya, we have Beferish and Abraisa. So the matam loymar, why does it say in the Pasuk, v'im mistei achuzasa yakdish ish lashem? It could have said, v'im me achuzasa yakdish ish lashem. And since that whole parish over there is talking about sodais and stuff, so what do you need the extra sodai for? So t'mar matam alim lefishanem, it says in the Pasuk, zerachoy mesahir mechamish shekel kosev. Ein li alish hekdish ben yazeh. I might think that this formula only applies to a base car. Anything smaller, maybe it doesn't apply. We nine l'rabbis, how do I know lesach? Lesach is a half of a base car, which means 15 saw. V'chatzi lesach, or half of that, which would be 7.5 saw. Or what happens, a base saw? Or a tarkav. Tarkav is a half of a saw. Tarkav means trei v'kav, three kav, and half of a saw. Or chatzi tarkav. Or 1.5 kavin. In other words, a tarkav is a half a saw, three kavin. Chatzi tarkav is half of that, is 1.5. How do I know there too the same formula applies? Tamaloyimer sada mikomokim any sada, even if it's a klein chigis sadala, a klein, a little small sada, same thing applies. Okay. Oh, so nakasha is, so even though these nakoyim and these saloyim, fine, ain't them done ima, but why are we saying that you have to be pointed them? According to their shivyoin, according to their value, why don't you say they're a separate soda b'fnei atzmai, and they're also based on this formula of the chamishim shekel kosev? The ikar kasha from the Gemara is not on the sloim, but on the nikoim. Why is the ikar kasha on the nikoim? Because nikoim, remember, means the cracks or crevices in the ground. Now, it doesn't tell us how wide it is. As you know, if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, that's a big crevice, and it's very, very large. That's why it's not called a crevice, it's called a canyon. So therefore, although it may be difficult to go and plant nekoim, there's a fundamental difference between a neka and a sela. A sela, you can't grow anything because it's a boulder, and you can do what you like, put 1,000 seeds on it, it's a goonish vax, and nothing's going to grow. However, if you have nekoim, depending, of course, how wide and how deep and all the rest, you could throw in seeds, and things could come up after all. They are b'nei zriyan in them. And that's why the Gemara is saying, if that's the case, the kachibam shenashai, why shouldn't they also have a din of the secret formula of the chamisha shekel kosev? So Gemara, omer avuk v'barchom achom nekoyim maleim mayim asim. We're talking about the neka was not just a crevice, it was full of water. The la b'nei zriyan in them. Could throw in all the seeds, senishvaksin. You have to go and plant seeds in the ground. You can't plant seeds in the water. You need water for irrigation, for sure. But if the whole thing is flooded, nothing will grow. Ah, since in Apenezriyaninu, it's very good why it doesn't have the status of base zera choymes oirim, because it's not zera, it's not plantable. You can't cultivate it, because Apenezriyaninu. Therefore, you have to go and be poided, not based on the formula, but based on the shivyoin, its actual appraised value. Now, don't think that this is a bit of a stretch. Dekanami Dutani, I'll bring you a raya. Because that same Mishnah couples together the Nikoyim with the Sloim. Do me the Sloim. Just like Sloim, there's no way that you can go and plant a Sela. No way that you can go and plant a Neka full of water. Shema Mina. Okay. Freit Dimara. Ihochi, once you're telling me that it really depends on whether you can plant or you cannot plant, Ihochi, why does it say there in that Mishnah that Dafke, if it's a Neka, Omek Yudfachim, or Sloim Gvoyim Yudfachim? Let's say the Neka is only 5 Tvachim or 8 Tvachim. If it's full of water, you can't plant there. It's Labanez Rianinu. So Ibazoi, Afilu Pochas Mikan Nami. Don't say that it is bottled to the rest of the Karka and that it's Nimdodin Ima. We should say it's also a Nimdan Ima because you cannot plant on this Sela or this Neka, which is full of water.
Amaraz's question. Does
I'm sorry, once again?
I have no idea about the planting here, but I'm assuming you can't plant on the
Sela.
The Sela that's less than 10 Tvachim also.
Correct, correct.
But the Gemara seems to make it like it's only once we have this new Fiddish that this Kasha comes up.
You're going to see that the Gemara is addressing now the Sloim as well. The Gemara is asking both the Gabin Nekoim and Sloim, right, since Labanei Zrina.
The Gemara waits for this. So for the first question. I could have asked this earlier.
About the Sloim?
Yeah.
Well, the Sloim, we said that since they're more than 10 Tvachim,
right,
you
so
can't
call... Right, so the same shot of less than 10 Tvachim should have came up beforehand.
Oh, well, first we wanted to deal with the Nikoyim. Now the Nikoyim are out of the way, now we come to the Sloim. And Gabi the Sloim, we're saying that if they happen to be not only 10 Tvachim tall, even if they're 5 Tvachim tall, you can't cultivate them, and therefore it's not Bnei Zriya. So why does it say in this Mishnah here at the very top of the Yom, the first line, if it's more than 10 Tvachim, ain't Nidonima. If it's less than Tvachim, then Nidonima. Even if it's less than 10 Tvachim, since you can't plant, you can't cultivate, then it should be ain't Nidonima. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Ihocha filah pachas mikan nami, both on the Nikoyim and the Sloim. Evidim hano nigani de Arim Mikri, or shidre de Arim Mikri. What the Gemara is basically telling us is, that kemat there is no plot of land that doesn't have at least some rocks here and some cracks and crevices over here. Where you have those Nikoyim, if they are so small that they're less than 10 Tvachim, you don't call it a crevice, but a capital C. It's a crack in the land. It's a little like agunished. Nothing out of the ordinary. And when you're talking about some rocks and pebbles and stuff, if they're less than 10 Tvachim from the ground, they're called shedri, shedri like the spine. Every person, Baruch Hashem, has a spine. Spine, if you, depending on how heavy the person is, you can either see the spine, especially if he's bending over, but you can't see the spine. But every person has a spine, Baruch Hashem. Same thing is, many karkois also have a spine. They have a level of small rocks or pebbles or boulders here and there. Nishgeferlich, it's considered to be like the spine of the land. What does he mean by using these expressions that this is called a crack of the land, it's called the shadr of the land? Means to say is they don't have a chashivas bifnei atzmai. If you see a huge boulder, oh wow, look at that boulder, wow, oh, oh, take pictures of it, and the kids are going to climb up it, and they're going to go and see how far they can see. They'll make a whole cholamoid excursion just based on this huge boulder. However, if it happens to be much smaller, nah, come on, this is just the spine of the land is good. It doesn't even have its own chashivas to have its own name. Anyway, so therefore, says Imar, that's why they are nimdod and Imar, they go, they're a tuffle to the ikker of the land. Now, with this, we have now concluded the discussion about the Mishnah Mesechtes Erechin, about being Maktish, what's included, what's not included. The main chiddush that we came out from our Gemara is that there's a distinction to be made between a neka, which is 10 tvachim deep, which has no water, and a neka, which is 10 tvachim deep, which is full of water. What's an afkimina? Well, it's nimdod and ima for purposes of the formula of the chamishim shekel kosm. Vreitimar hachamai. Our Mishnah is very parallel here too. You're selling a base korofar, nikoy mamuk masar tvachim, slam givoyim yit tvachim, ein nimdod and ima. Is our Neka and our Mishnah also talking about that it was full of water? Or even if it was not full of water, the same din applies. Because after all, here we're not talking about base Zera, Choymes, Oirim, like it says in the Pasuk. On the other hand, he said base Kor Ofer. So Ofer means something that I can plant in. That's why he added the word Ofer. So it's kind of parallel. Hochamai, what would you say about our Mishnah? Omra Papa Avu Pisha Ein Malei Yimayim. Even if it did not have any water in it, even though it was 10 tvachim deep, no water, the halacha is ein nimdodin ima. Why? What's the reason? Why? After all, you can cultivate it to a certain degree, especially if it's a little bit wider. The tamaitaima ein adam roitze sheitin ma'oisev pemokim echad, v'yero loy kishnai mishloishim mekoimis. We look in the mind of the lekech. Lekech says, I'm buying a base korofa, and that's what the moicha said, I'm saying a base korofa. Base korofa means in one place together. Obviously, if you're selling him one saw over here, and one saw in Arizona, and one saw in Texas, that's not what I signed up for. I meant to base korofa together. Mm-hmm. Okay, those, of course, are very remote type of examples. But here, the Gemara means the same thing. If you're going to have these huge boulders and or large crevices, so that when I'm bringing in my oxen and my plows and my workers to go and work the fields, then it's not going to be one large field going back and forth here and there. No, they're going to have to take a break and move to the right and move to the left and move to the north and to the south. They're going to have to avoid all of these obstacles.
And especially to avoid Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, Colorado. And so therefore, our Lekeach says, He's incensed. Is this what you thought I meant when I said base korofa? Come on. Be a mensch. You realize on your own, this is ka'ain base korofa. This is 12 mini base korofas that add together to base kor. Finish. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if they're mali maim and not mali maim because of the svar of ain odom rights. Good. Freitimar. What mandated, what forced us to say, or what allowed us to say that the Mishnah Masechtas Erechin is talking about the Nekah was full of water? By the fact that the Nekah was written in the Mishnah neck and neck together with the Sela. And just like the Sela is Ein Boizriah, so you're talking about that it was full of water, La B'nei Zriah. So our Mishnah is the same thing. In other words, make the same deal as last Mishnah, and say over here too, it's talking about that it's full of water. And Yura Papa said, even if it's empty. What does that mean? That means is that Rapapa is right. That when a Lekeach wants to go and buy a piece of property of a base core, he doesn't want to buy three or four mini base cores that add up to a base core. He wants to have one property free from all of these obstacles. So once it's over 10 tvachim, that's a no-no, no good, ain nimdodin ima. Whether it has water in it, doesn't have water in it, that's nishkan afkimina. Aye, but we said in the koim dim disloim, which sounds like in Labanei Zriah, that there's water, that's talking about when it's less than 10 tvachim. What did we say in our Mishnah? The only problem of ain nimdodin ima, if it's more than 10 tvachim. What happens if it's less than 10 tvachim? Ten nimdodin ima. Zokt yetz, our Gemara says, Rav Papa, even if the Nekah is full of water to the top, as long as it's less than 10 tvachim, nimdodin ima. How do I know that even if it's full of water, which means that this is really dead property, dead space, I can't use it for Zriya at all? Because the Zumya Disloim. So Zumya Disloim is not going on the Reisha of the Mishnah. Because in the Reisha Ein Achanami, the Nekoim alone, even if they are totally dry, not included, because that's the das of Lekech. He doesn't want Shnayim Shlesha Mekoimis. Why does it say Dumi Disloim? For the Sefer. That even though this is really bad, it's full of water, but it's only 9 Tvachim deep, Nimdodin Ima, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, so we continue now, Vaita Pachas Mikan, Nimdodin Ima, as we've been saying all along, that if it's less than 10 Tvachim tall, or 10 Tvachim deep, then it is included in the base Korofer. But obviously, there has to be a certain amount of space that these occupy. If you're going to tell me that 90% of the property has sloim or nekoim, which are less than 10 tvachim, come on, you can't use such a property. Small amount, you know, but you know, so what's the shear? Reb Yitzchak, troshim shamra, I don't know why he uses the word troshim. Rashbam says troshim means sloim. Maybe the Amiroim, or maybe where Reb Yitzchak lived, maybe they didn't use the term seller, they used the term troshim. Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. And if troshim she'omru base arbas kaven, that means it's extended over an area of 4 kaven. If it's more than 4 kaven, then ein nimdodin ima, and you gotta go and add and compensate by giving more land. However, if they are small sloim, or not such deep, shallow nikoyim, and they do not occupy more than 4 kaven, okay, then the nindam ima. So now you're saying to yourself, what does that mean for kaven in terms of base kar? So we do the same cheshbon we did before. Base kar has how many saw? 30 saw. Every saw, a saw, would be 1 out of 30 in the larger base kar, right? A base kar has 30 saw. If we would say that the troshin sh'am was a base saw, that would mean 1 out of 30. How much is 1 out of 30? It's roughly 3 1/3%. Yeah?
Exactly.
Good. Precisely. Excellent. Precisely. Now we're not talking about that. We're talking about arbos kaven. Arbos kaven means 2/3 of a kav. If it's 2/3, not 2/3 of a kav, 2/3 of a saw, thank you. Because a saw has in it 6 kaven. Now we're talking about 4 kaven. It's 4 kaven means 2/3. So it's 2/3 of 3 1/3, which gets you to roughly 2.2%. 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2,
That's very good.
It's not shkayach. It's your influence. Your hashpo is toidus. It's good. So it's roughly 2.2% type of tolerance level. Good. Omer v'kubar choma. V'ushim v'loin b'chameshes kavin. This is if they are spread out. The word muvla means it's swallowed into the base kar, but it means that it's mefuzar, says Rishbam. It's mefuzar b'chameshes kavin, or more. 6 kavin, 8 kavin, 10 kavin. In other words, this base arboaz kavin of the nekoyim, or the siloim, which are nimdodin ima, because they are shorter than 10, or they are shallower than 10, which we said that the area is 4 kavin. That's if they're spread out nicely, at least over 5 kavin, 6 kavin, 10 kavin, 20 kavin. Rishbam says, the more the merrier. What's the reason? Because it means it's a little fly over here, and a little necka over here, and a little cell over here. Nishkefetch. However, if they're concentrated all in one spot, in less than 5 kavin, Rishbam says, Lamushal, you have these 4 kavin are together within 4.5 kavin in the field, so they're concentrated. This is really dead space, this entire 4 kavin. They're not spread a little here, a little there. Then it is not nimdad ima. That's what Rav Ukiva bar Chama says. Rav Chiya bar Abba Rav Yochanan is a little bit more generous, if you will, to the Moichan. He says, it doesn't have to be that it's muvla within 5 kavin. Even if it's muvla in roiv of the sada, that's also good. And certainly if it's muvla in the entire sada, it's even better. Meaning that the concentration that we were talking about is not that they're concentrated less than 5 kavin, and then the lekiach can say, no. Even if they're spread out berubishol sada, that's also good for our purposes, that they are included in the Dalet Kavan, within the Beisah, Nimdat Ima, and you don't have to compensate by giving additional property. So now the question is, Boy Rav Chiya bar Abba, Ruban de Mi'uta, Mi'utan be Ruba, Mahu. That sounds a little bit complicated, right? Roiv of the 4 Kavan are in the Mi'ut of the property. A miut of the 4 kavin are in roi from the property. What's the din now? So now, first, superficially, what the Gemara is saying is, we said miut to beruba. If they're all split out beruba nicely and beautifully, then it's all included. What we're saying is, what happens if only a miut is spread out in the roi, but roi is spread out in the miut of the property? So some of the stones, or some of the nikoyim, are in fact concentrated. Not all of them, but some of them. Does that interfere with this formula? Now, exactly, how do you figure out Ruben b'miyuta, miyuta b'ruba? So Rishbam does a very nice job. And Rishbam explains the following. He says that you could have, we're talking about the base core. Base core, by definition, we said is 30 saw. Now, what would be roiv of 30? Half of 30 would be 15.
So 6.
Roiv would be 16. Right? Everybody agrees? 16. Good.
It has to be a full roiv, not 15 points.
I'm just quoting the Rishbam. L'chor, you're right, 51%, 49%, but the Rishbam doesn't want to go into percentages and small digits and all that. So we're doing it in easy fashion. So therefore, 16 is roiv. Now we're talking about this roiv ha-kav. Roiv ha-kav, or actually the Gemara was talking about dalet kavin. So now, Dalet Kavan is 4 Kavan. What happens if we're dealing with a Roiva HaKav? How many Roiva Kavs are there in 4 Kavan? There would be 16, because there are 4 Roiva Kavs in each Kav. And since you're talking about 4 Kavan, 4 times 4 is 16. Ah, so it's good. We have altogether 16, what was the first year? 16 Sa'ah, that's Roiv of the field, right? 16 is Roiv of 30. And now we're talking about 16 Roiva Kavs, which is a quarter of a Kav, and the 4 Kav altogether, so 16 and 16. So if there's 1 Roiva Kav per Sa'a, then it's spread out very, very nicely. And that's what the Gemara said, Muvloin Berubishol Sa'a. What happens if instead you have a situation of the 16 Sa'a, you have 9 Sa'a, which have in them 7 of the Roiva Kav, and 7 saw that have 9 of the roiv hakav. Ooh, so now you have a situation where you have roiv in the miut and the miut in the roiv. Right, everybody chapt? We have 16 altogether. 16 saw. Why is that? Because that's the roiv of 30. Because the 30 saw in a base court. Then we said the 16 roiv hakav, because each kav is 4 is we're talking about four kavin. That's how we started off with four kavin. Each kav, of course, has four quarters. Yeah, just like a dollar has four quarters, a kav has four quarters. So therefore, each quarter of a kav is 1/16 of four kavin. Good. So now we have 16. So we have 16 roiva hakavs. If one per one, that's fine. That's what the Gemara says in Mavloima. The Ruvis Yosoda, it's good according to Rabbi Yochanan. However, what happens if it was in nine sa'a, you had seven kavin, and that, or seven roiva kavs. So seven roiva kavs in nine, that's certainly good because it's a very large expanse. It's less than one per one. It's a nine, it's veroiv. So then that certainly would be included. But on the other hand, I have the second half of the field, if you will, where you have seven sa'a, and in that you have nine roiva kavs. Nine roiva kavs, oy, oy, oy. That's too much for that seven sa'a. It's more than the shear of the roif, or less than, depending which way you look at it. Anyway, so the question is, how do you look at this din of muvla in roif sa'a? Do you look at the whole thing in its entirety? Then you have 16 and 16. Or do you look at each part of the property separately? Like, one half is a zoi, one half is a zoi. Says, Yimara, mao, take. Okay, on to the next bunch of shaylos. This is famous Rabbi Yirmiya. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya.
Who
runs
back into the
desert? It's May Hirachman Varotsky. Everybody wants to go and do tshuva, so we brought him back in.
Shavuot Vanam Legvulam. Those questions were always on point, but whatever.
Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara has now.
It was half and half. That's a good question.
I'm sorry. No,
no, it's all right.
Okay, good. If you're happy, I'm happy. Kishir Mahu. Kishur Mahu. It's the Dinan Mahu. Derech HaKaltzen Mahu. So the Gemara Teiku. What are these four shilas? The four shilas that we're dealing with over here is what happens if the stones, which are less than 10 tvachim, or the nekoim, which are shallower than 10 tvachim, what happens not that they are scattered all around, but rather they happen to be in interesting formations. For instance, kishir. Kishir, says Rishbam, means like a bracelet, and there you have the picture of the bracelet on the left-hand margin. Mm-hmm. In my Gemara, there are spaces between each link in the bracelet. Mm-hmm. Why is that so important that it should have, in other words, it's a broken line, if you will. Why is that important? To allow for plows to get in, to be able to go and plow within the circle, within that bracelet. So, it's obviously it's not easy to get through because you have all the links in the bracelet, but mekena duch kvetchen, you can squeeze through. So the question is, does that have an impact on our halacha legabe the four kavin? Does it have to be four kavin just kind of scattered around? What happens if they happen to be scrunched together, but in such a formation, would that pose a shayla gabin nimdodin imo or not? Now, if you're going to go and say, no, nishkeferlach, you can squeeze through the links and get to the middle of the circle and do your thing, and therefore it's nimdod ima. What happens kishura mal? Kishura means that it happens to be like a long, long row. You see in the Rishbam on the right-hand side, he has all those broken dots. The reason is, because explains Rishbam, when you do harish in a field, you don't just do it shesi or orev, but you do both shesi v'erev. You go and do both the horizontal and the vertical, or the north and the east-west. You know, you do it in both directions. Ah, so therefore, if you have the formation of either the nekoim or the siloim as like one long row, then it makes it very difficult for you to have to get over to the other side. And so if you're going to tell me I'm only going and plowing in one direction, okay, so when you finish one, then you skip the row and you keep on going. However, if you're doing it in both directions, Sessiv Arab, then each time you're going to have to, you know, jump over it. It's going to be problematic. So therefore, is that also included in your cheshvan? That's Keshura. It's the dinan, I believe, comes the word stadium. Sharhu itzdin. Why sure? It's in other Gemaras it talks about bullfights where, for those of you that are not familiar, you have what's called, I think, a matador that has this red shmata or something, and he tries to incite the bull and a whole bunch of geschäften.
Before you said stadium,
yeah,
I was thinking of Yankee Stadium when they clean the area. They go this way and that way. Oh. Form that.
Exactly. Jesse Bear. Beautiful, beautiful.
And then you said stadium. I said,
wow, can you imagine? Baruch Shikibanti Ledas Agdolim, very, very good. Anyway, so what does it have to do with all of us?
Call me Yankee.
Yankee, yeah. All right. Anyway, I never met a Yankee like you. Oh, okay. So let's continue on. So what's a shore? It's, and then that's the bull that is fighting. Mm-hmm. And the bull has horns. And what do the horns look like? That is the next picture on the left-hand side, mm-hmm. that the horns are coming out from the head of the animal. So now, if that is the formation of either the stones or the nikoim, or these crevices, these cracks, mm-hmm. so then to be able to go and plant to the right, to the left, to the middle, you see it's far more complicated mm-hmm. because of this formation. So Gemara wants to say, even if you were to go and say, Kashir is included, Kishur is included, Nishkefela, but it's much more. And then the final case is Akal Tzayin, which is the final that zigzag, looks like a sideways W or something like that. So there, if you wanted to go and plow a room in a room, all in all four sides, you see how complicated it would be. You have to go this way and that way and up and down and back and forth and up. So the question is, if they happen to be less than nine, and it's less than the four kavin, since they happen to be so difficult in terms of being able to plant, would it still be included in them? Dadi, ma, ya, nish, ma, take them. Baita. Tana, we learned in the Brayta, the second line from the top. Im ho yesela yechidi, afila kol shehu, ein nimdat ima. So what it means to sell yechidi, so Rishbam explains that the base core offer has to start somewhere. What happens if the mocher wants to go and throw in this sela, which is chidi, it's all on its own. Normally, I would say it's not even part of the property. But of course, the mocher wants to get rid of it and figure that'll be a good throw in into his base core. It'll be nimdat ima. It's less than 10 tfachim in terms of its height. I feel a koshu, even if it's only a koshu. Koshu means even only one tefach or two tfachim. If that's where your starting line is, ein nimdat ima. It's not included. Start your starting line after the seller, mm-hmm. not before the seller. Why? So all those shiurim that we're talking about, if they're muvla in the sada, you have this large 4, 5, 6 acres full of land, and in the middle you happen to have a seller here and a seller there. Okay, nishkeferlech. But to start counting from there, now that's almost like a chitzpah. Yeah, why should you start counting? You start from where the base, where the offer begins, where you can start planting and cultivating. And the Braisa says, Nochmeh, v'moyesamach lemeitzer, if it's not the first seller outside of the property, but it's the first one on the meitzer on the border, also afilu kolshu, even if the seller happens to be a kleina seller, it's not a big towering boulder, it's smaller, nevertheless, start your medida from base core offer, from offer. Then keep on going, mm-hmm. so that you make it into a good offer, like you said before. Mm-hmm. But to go and have your offer of base core and start it off on the wrong foot, so to speak, and having a boulder, no, ain't in it. Now, boyer of papa, mufzik offer bintayim mau. What happens if this sela koshu that you're talking about is not mamish on the meitzar, but it is removed from the meitzar by 1 inch or 2 inches or 3 inches? Abyssal! So therefore, could you say that that's also muvla? Muvla means smack in the middle, yeah, at least 4 amas away, 10 amas away. So what is the shear? Tomorrow, mau is taken. Boy Ravashi, offer mulmata v'tzun mulmala, offer mulmala v'tzun mulmata mahu. To keep on talking about this cella, and we're saying that if it happens to be at the edge of the property, if it's only 9 tvachim, if it's muvla inside the property, it's included. If it's at the edge of the property, it's not included. What happens if this is not just a boulder, but it's a boulder together with offer, meaning that you either see that the boulder starts on level ground, but underneath it, you can dig under it, and you see that there's offer over there. Or it's the other way around. There's a tsunma subterraneously under the surface, but on top of that, you have your offer. What is the status of that type of tsunma, that type of seller? By Ravashi, offer mulmata, the tsunma mulmala. Tsunma we've had already a number of times. That means a very hard rock, like our Siloim and our Mishnah. So the tsunma lamala, meaning above the soil, above the surface, but underneath it is offer. Or offer mumal, on top of that is offer. But tzumilamata, mau, is that included? Not included. Teiku, tishbi
atart. Talking about the both cases by the 10 tfachim and the... Because you could learn this on...
We're talking about the
I could learn this back on the 10 tfachim too, that second case.
Theoretically one could, but the way Rishbam seems to learn, we're talking about on less than. If you want to look at Boy Ravashi, 2 lines before the Mishnah. See, it's 6 lines into the wide lines. Do you have that, my good friend?
Yeah.
Good. Boy Ravashi, imtim tzaloi mehefzik offer bein time. Have a hefzik. If you're going to go and tell me that abisala offer between the meitzar and the seller, which is less than 10 tvachim, that's considered to be a hefzik. Avlam yesh hefzik offer mulmater. What happens if you don't see the offer between the meitzar and the tzumma, but rather you have offer underneath the seller, underneath the tzumma, and the tzumma is on top of that, but it's samach lemeitzar, it's close to the border. Inam ibcha, offer me'at milmala, from on top, you have some offer. V'loi gvoi agimel, v'oi mek hamachresha, and it's not so big for purposes of the plowing, it's not three tvachim tall. V'tzumma lematlet is the tzumma down below. Do you say you go after the offer and it's included in the property and you start counting from there because it's offer on top? The tzumma is ikker, and therefore don't start your counting, your measuring from the tzumma. Go after the tzumma. The ein nimdad. So you see that the nimdad or ein nimdad, is it included, not included? We're referring to that it's less than 10, because once it's more than 10, we send the Mishnah, ein nimdad ima, it's not included. Okay, now we have a very simple Mishnah. Beis korofer ani moichelach. Reuven and Shimon are sitting down and we're working out a deal. I'm selling you beis korofer. And he says to him the magic words, mida bechevel. Mida bechevel means I want it to be measured with a proper measuring rope. In other words, no approximations, no around. Kimat, I want it exact. Bechevel, mida bechevel. If after you measure the entire base korofer, you find that it's missing just 3 inches of soil as part of the base korofer, then you have to go and reduce the price. The price was $100 for this base korofer, and it's missing a few inches because you measured exactly. So instead of $100, it would be $99, $99.50, whatever the deal you work out. Hoyser koshu, when it happens, if it turns out that the moich was too generous, and it was more than a base korofer, then yachzer, then he has to return to the original moich. Now, what does he have to return? We're going to see in the Mishnah shortly, Rishbam already explains now, he gives him the value, meaning giving the money.
Right.
Why doesn't he just go and give him the 2 or 3 inches of soil? Because what are you going to do with two or three inches? Yeah. So we leave it to the moich, unless the moich says, no problem. Because right after the base korof, I have another soda which is adjacent to it, and I'll just attach it to that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to the moicher as to whether he insists on getting money, or if he's willing to go and take that small hoiser koshu, a couple of inches, if he's willing to take it, because sometimes yachser, one or the other. The im amar, but instead of saying mida b'chevel, what happens if they said, hein choser, hein yeser? Like you say in English, more or less. Or in this case, it's less or more. Filipichas roi v'lesah. Oy hoyser roi v'lesah, hi giyoy. So then, there is a tolerance level of a roi v'hakav l'sah. Now, how much is roi v'hakav l'sah? So we said already a saw has in it six kavin. Everybody agrees, yeah? We're not talking about the base core now. We're now talking about a base saw. So a saw has six kavin. Every kav has, not every kav. Every saw has six kavin. Every kav is in it 4 roi v'hakavs, right? 4 quarters. So again, this would be 1/24 of a saw. How much is 1/24 of a saw? It's like almost like 1/25. It's approximately 4%. So filipichas roi v'hakavs. Even if he gave him not 100% base core, he only gave him 96%. It's missing 4%. Oy hoyser roi v'hakavs. If he gave him additional 4, he giyoy. Then the deal is a deal, because that's why they said more or less, a tolerance level of up to 4%. Oh, 4% in a mashu, whatever. But not if it's once you get to 5 or 10%, forget about it. Deal is off. You have to restructure your transaction. But as long as it's up to that 4%, we're okay. Hikia. Yoisimikan, what happens if it's more than that? Yasachedrin. Then you have to figure out how much is he being gypped, either the lekech or the meicher. And then you have to go and you have to amend, and you have to go and be machzir. Mahu machzir loy. So again, in a case where the moicher lost out because the property is larger than the base kur offer, how much is it larger? It's not just a 4%. Yoisimikan, it's 5%, 8%, 10%. Then yachzlim mois, you give him money. In other words, lekeach goes to the moicher and says, I see that it's more than what we had bargained for. I got this bonus. I'm giving you back, either you can give him back the value in money. V'imrotza machzalekarka. V'imrotza means if the moicher is willing, machzalekarka, if he's willing to go and take a few inches of earth, then that's fine. V'loma omer machzalein mois. So why did we say that the lekeach can give the moicher money? Liyapis koicher shel moicher. so that the moicher gets a yipikayach. In other words, we have rachmanis on the moicher. We don't want him to get stuck with 3 or 4 or 5 inches mm-hmm. of land. What are you going to do with 3 or 5 inches? It's a gunishvet, right? So what are you going to do with that? So therefore, shimshir the soda, base tisha kavin, who begin a base chatzika, who did Rebbe Kiva, base roiva, masalus a karka. If you're giving him as a chaticha ruilis kabin, it's a choshiva, then the lekech can go and give him back karka instead of giving him voice. But if it's less than that, then the moicher says, what am I going to do with it? So then he can insist on money. Liyap is koichesho moicher. Now, what are the shimshir besoda, base tisha kabin, or begin a base chatzikav? What the Mishnah is telling us is, this is considered to be a chaticha ruilis kabin in terms of what a person would buy or sell, whether it would be worth his while to cultivate such a property. Now, where do we get these shiurim from? So Rishbam reminds us we had this back on Daf Yud Aleph. What did we have back on Daf Yud Aleph? We had over there that what happens if you have 2 shutfim that unfortunately had a difference of opinion. Mm-hmm. Maybe one was a Republican, one was a Democrat. Whatever, it doesn't go into the details why they're having a difference of opinion, but they have a difference of opinion. So we said, in Cholken es achotzer, is a Mishnah in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, in the middle of the Amud, closer to the bottom. In Cholken es achotzer, arba amas azeh, arba amas azeh. That's the Gabi a chotzer. Below is the Sada. What happens if 2 shutfim decide we're going to split down the Sada? Achiheba tishakavan lezeh, but tishakavan lezeh. Each one has to have at least tishakavan. Tishakavan is considered to be
a workable field.
Rabbi Yehuda says, achibas tishas chatzoy kavan lezeh. Doesn't have to be 9 kavan, even 4.5 kavan. I believe the Gemara said that there's really no machloikis. It really depends on mar omeduchde, man omeduchde,
v'lei kligi. Galil and Yehuda.
Yeah, exactly. In different places, you had more difficult. You have more fertile property, or you have more difficult, or more stronger, or harder karka. So therefore, in some places, it may not be worth your while to have tisha chatzoy kavan. But if it's very fertile land, maybe it would be worth. Okay. And then Rabbi Yehuda said actually, but so you see that these are the minimum shiurim for purposes of having a psa tova choshev, that if the shutfim decide that they're going to split it, they have to leave over for each one at least 9 kavan, or according to the other man, the yomer, tishchatzoi kavan, and so on and so forth. So how would that relate to what we're talking about over here? So Rishbam again makes a simple cheshbon, and he says, since we're talking about a roiva kav lisa'o. So how much is a roiva kav lisa'o? Again, if you're talking about the mushal, 30 kavin, not 30 kavin, you're talking about 30 saw in a base car, so then go and multiply now your roiva kav. How much would be 30 times a roiva kav? 30 times a quarter gets you to 7.5 kavin. So if you had 7.5 kavin, says our Mishnah, if you said, oi, pachas, oi, say, chasa, yes, sir, that goes along for the ride. However, once you hit 9 kavan, which of course is a little bit more than 7.5 kavan, in such a case, instead of giving him money, you leave over for the moicha tisha kavan. The moicha has nothing to complain about. Tisha kavan is worth a person's while to go and hire workers and to go and get oxen, because it's a choshuva piece of property.
Or you can sell to somebody else.
Or somebody else, exactly.
It's a marketable piece of property.
Eggs, marketable piece of property. That's the real term. And the same thing, like we said in the Mishnah over there, that you're talking about a sada. If you're talking about a gina, more of a garden, where they used to go and plant, for instance, vegetables and things like that, or psalmim, or whatever, then mezchati kav is already enough. Fukidiv Rebbe Kiva, beis roiva kav, like that Mishnah and daf yirav. In such case, maksali is a karka. He doesn't have to go and give back the money, in other words, the balance, because he got too much. He can give the moich the karka itself, and he says, I'll keep my money, and I'll give you back the karka. When we're talking about anything which is more than the roiva kav, you don't give just the overage, but everything. So in our case, we said up to 7.5 kavin that he keeps. What happens if it's 8 or 9 or 10 kavin? Don't think you only give the differential between the chlais, 10 kavin and the 7.5 kavin. 7.5 kavin, that's ein chaser, yes. So he only has to pay 2.5 kavin. No, once you've gone over that minimal tolerable amount, then you have to pay the entire amount. So if it's 10 kavin, you have to give him 10. Even though 7.5 would have been a freebie, Once it's over that, then you have to give this kolam moiser. Do you remember we discussed it, the Gabi Rav Huna, back in the Gemara earlier, the Gabi the Afrutis, etc.
The kidneys with the source of kidneys and Pesach.
Very good. Okay, so stop over here, boys. I thank you all.